Welcome back to the City of Palms podcast. Two brothers got together, started a podcast to shine light on talented individuals in the Southwest Florida area. Thank you for watching, viewing, and subscribing.
Episode 113 with Mac Muse.
How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good.
Doing good?
I'm chilling.
Doing good.
How was your day today?
It was really good. Saturdays are my day off, so it's probably my favorite day of the week.
Heck yeah.
Saturday and Sunday.
What'd you get into?
This morning I went to the zoo. My girl works at the zoo. What? So usually I'll take her on Saturdays on my day off, and she's got a little member pass, so I'll just do like a lap, and it's pretty chill. Because the zoo's all like, it's like jungle vibe, so
yeah.
Nice little peaceful walk in the morning, check out all the animals, and then went back home and actually recorded a song today that I wrote on like Wednesday, Thursday while I was at work. Like when I'm at work, just put on a beat in my car and just kind of like not write while I'm driving, but when I can. So I recorded that today too when I got back and then chilled for a while. That took a couple hours, of course. We took my girl's friend to the airport and then we went to Mellow Mushroom. And now I'm here.
Solid. Yeah,
pretty chill.
Oh yeah.
Naples Zoo, right?
Nice, yeah.
I love that place, dude.
It's really nice.
Didn't something happen with like a big animal?
A tiger. Yeah.
Tiger. It died, tough. Right?
It did. Yeah. This dude, he was a cleaning crew night member or something, and they were in there at night cleaning, and he was doing the bathrooms, whatever. And I guess he was walking by and saw the tiger, and there's like a little fence that you can easily get over. Then there's like a really big fence, but you can still get to it and get your hand in there. So he was like, all right, I'm gonna pet the tiger.
He's
like, I'm gonna pet this tiger. So he tried to pet the tiger and the tiger grabbed his arm, and he wasn't like vicious about it. There's a video that went out. I don't know if it's still up. Me and my girl watched it. I didn't really want to. Yeah, yeah, it was a body cam.
That was a wild video.
And I was like, man. So we watched it and the tiger really wasn't vicious about it. He just kind of had him and he was like, basically like, what are you doing here? Like holding him hostage.
He's
right?
Like, you're trying to pet me.
And I think the guy ended up being somewhat okay for what happened to him. I think he kept his arm. I don't remember for sure, but they did find out that he had alcohol on his breath and in his system.
Dang.
So I don't know what the charges, if he got charged, I don't know the super details of it, but it was pretty crazy. My girl was pretty upset about it, but a lot of people were, it was a whole thing. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, that's tragic. I've never been to Naples Zoo, as crazy as that is, because I was born and raised here. But my wife and I went to Tampa Zoo, and they had like the same type of tiger that tiger was.
Right.
It was like a Malaysian tiger, I think.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just crazy to see. It was like so majestic. I was like, wow. And, you know, the people there are telling us there's X amount left in the world, and I was like, man. Kind of took for granted that I was like, dang, I didn't go to Naples Zoo, you know, before it all happens. Crazy. Right. And yeah, seeing the body cam footage, it was just tragic.
It was scary to hear the terror in the dude's voice, because like you don't get to see footage like that too often of like an emergency situation where the dude is like about to die and he's like, shoot it, it's gonna kill me, and he's just going crazy.
Yeah. It was like getting to that part and he was like right there about to make the decision. I was like, all right, we got enough now, we can turn it off. I was like, we don't got to go any further, because I mean, it's like some stuff you see on the internet, I'm like, geez, like how did I make it on here?
Yeah.
Like certain, like, I mean, even on Facebook, like how did I get on Facebook as strict as they've been lately?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. But the zoo is pretty cool though. It's also like a botanical garden, so the vibe is really cool there.
Yeah, it's a super nice zoo. Definitely. And being right next to the mall right there, it's a nice location.
And they got the skate park. I'm like, that whole little area right
we
there.
We gotta go sometime.
It's really
dude.
Cool.
Let's make a day out of it.
For real.
There's enough to do right there in just that little spot. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. Is there still like a monkey island over there?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is probably one of the coolest things I've seen, like,
I didn't get
with
to
the
go.
Zoo or anything. And it's free, included in the ticket. It's like the entry fee is only $20. So you go on like a little pontoon boat, and they got like, I think like 6 islands, and they have all these different monkeys. It's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that sounds sick. I didn't get to do that last time I was there, but I saw it because we were there with Brendan and them. So like we didn't do everything, mm-hmm. but I'll go back.
It's super cool. For sure. We went to something related to the zoo. It's I can't remember the name of it. It's South Naples. And it's this whole like garden center. can't remember the name of it. It was super cool, really nice, really fancy and well done. Pretty much like the zoo without animals and just kind of a little more elaborate.
Like a botanical garden?
Yeah, it was basically a botanical garden. I don't remember exactly what the name was, but it's like southeast Naples area.
Okay, yeah, I think I've been there.
It was super cool.
Yeah, like super like everything's really done up. You're walking through like walkways. With, like, yeah, I think I've been there. Yeah,
and they have different setup areas. They had like a Japanese style area. Yep. And they had like a Brazilian area, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there. That place is sick.
Love stuff like that. Like on the weekends, like that's the move.
Yeah.
Something that's nice and chill, just easy.
You a big beach guy?
Yeah. For the most part. Me and my girl are really kind of like the beach vibes on the West Coast just because the mix with the mountains and the beach. Like the beaches here are nice, but it's just, I mean, of course it's hot. We're in Florida, but having the dynamic of having like mountains right on the ocean is super cool. And my dad lived in Oregon for a while. So a couple of years ago, I got to visit him out there and he was on the coast. He was living in an RV. So that was when I really realized, I was like, man, like the coasts out here are way different. So that's somewhere we've kept in mind. Like one day, like, we'll definitely be out there.
Yeah. I've never been over to the West Coast, but it's wanted to so bad.
It's so beautiful. So beautiful. And I lived in Colorado for a year in 2018 to 2019. And it was so beautiful. I loved it out there.
Heck yeah.
Super cool. Expensive though. That's why I'm back. But now I'm in Naples, so I don't know how that works.
Same dude, it's getting expensive everywhere, dude. You're like, killing us.
Just, I'm getting stuck no matter what. I just got to make more money.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Especially Naples. Everywhere down here. Everybody wants to come to Florida now. Everybody is coming to Florida now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think they liked how lenient our laws are also. For sure. It's pretty attractive, which, I mean, I like it. Everyone likes it. Everyone likes freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, dude. For sure. Yeah, places got crazy. I was thankful to be where I was for the past couple of years.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, some places have gotten been crazy. Like a lot of people moving out of New York City and stuff like that, and a lot of people moving out of places in Cali, like LA and stuff, just because of how the last few years have been.
Those are the biggest ones, yeah, for sure.
I've been wanting to visit Texas. I feel like that's the place to go.
I've heard a lot of good things about Texas, good and bad, of course. But as for costs of living and like wages and stuff, I'd say that's probably one of the best places right now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Seems like there's a little like creative revolution going on over there. A lot of like big. I've even heard that it's like emerging almost like a new. Like, just seems like a lot of comedians are moving out there. A lot of skaters are moving out there.
Yeah. I see a lot of artists too, a lot of rappers and musicians coming out from there too. And everyone's saying like, oh, we're from Houston, we're from Dallas. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of people coming out of Texas right now.
Yeah.
And I guess you wouldn't think, just because, I don't know, people don't really think of Texas with that kind of culture and scene, you know. But it's good for them, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know Manny lives in Texas now?
Does he?
Yeah.
Manny Betancourt?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Good for him, dude. Good for him.
Yep. In sales too.
John Hill too. John Hill lives in Texas.
Is the move for some people. Yep. Joe Rogan moved there.
Joe Rogan moved there.
and that started a thing too, where all the people started following the flock.
Mm-hmm. And I heard a lot of the movie industry too. Like a lot of like actors and stuff are like locating into Texas because of how things are.
And here too. You know, like we were having a conversation off air when he got here. It's like, you know, about Miami. We're 2 hours from Miami. So Miami's super expensive to live. So like, you know, Naples is just as much, you know. Fort Myers is just as much too. Like right now it's even hard, you know, to find anything. Fort Myers used to be the go-to, like San Carlos Park.
Yeah,
you'd be able to find nice places.
Yeah, now San Carlos Park is like,
you're lucky to get in for less than three.
Forget
like,
about it.
Oh, dude, it's craziness. Yeah. Growing up in Florida, you grew up in Florida, Sebring. There's so many stigmas about growing up in Florida too. It's like, and then to tie it back, we're like, now people are here, dude. Did you do any, I'm not going to say stereotypical Florida things, but like you dirt bike at all?
You ride any alligators?
In Sebring, being that it's smaller, the vibe is definitely different. It was a lot more country vibes. A lot of my family, my grandpa in-law, my grandma's husband now, he had a country band or has a country band. They have a country radio station in Sebring and he's the host of it. So
sick.
The whole vibe there is definitely more kind of yee-yee. But it's cool though because, I mean, I grew up there, so of course that was just kind of instilled in me when I was young. But then I have like a certain other aspect where I like the whole city vibe too. But growing up there, definitely like mud holes every weekend, like riding four wheelers and stuff, going hunting. Like that's just, it's basically just naturally something because there's not much else to do. That's like what you got.
Yeah.
It's like either that or you're just chilling at the house playing video games, you know, which nowadays is also something that's cool that you can make money from. So
for sure. Yeah.
The age now is pretty cool. The different aspects you can make money. Like you were saying, people moving out of LA to go to Texas, and like you can really do anything from anywhere now that we have social media and the internet the way it is.
100%.
It's pretty cool.
What do you remember, like back then, what was one of your first like major passions? Was it music?
Oh,
was there something? It was music first?
Yeah, I would say music for football too. Football is a big passion of mine also. I don't know which one honestly came first. I played football first, but I got really into music, and of course that's taken over control now. I mean, obviously I'm not playing football, but I'm fine with that because I realized that's just not what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
They say like the cliche, like everything happens for a reason, but I mean, that's true. Like it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you're at, that's where you're supposed to be. Yeah.
Did you play ball in high school?
Yeah.
What position?
Safety.
Safety. Nice.
And fullback sometimes. When I was in middle school, our team wasn't that great when I started. Like seventh grade, we didn't win a game. Like 4 or 5 years prior, they hadn't won a game. And then my eighth grade year, like I was getting into it. I played a little when I was younger, so I started getting good. And then I had a best friend, and we were kind of like the best on the team in eighth grade. So that was kind of like our star year. And we ended up winning like 2 games that year. And so when I played my freshman year, I was feeling myself. Football was my main goal. I wasn't really focused on music. I didn't think I was going to do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up breaking my femur bone in my knee.
Dude, the femur? How did you do that?
The second game of the season. So it was on a kickoff. It was like early in the game, probably like first quarter still. And I'm running and I'm coming down the sideline and I like stopped, like planted and like went to turn to chase this dude. And when I planted, someone else was already in the air and just went right into the side of my leg. And I fell down. I was screaming, it hurt.
I bet.
It was probably the worst pain I felt. And I sat there and they came and got me off and set me on the bench, and my knee was so swollen and bruised that they really weren't sure like what they were gonna, like what the issue was or anything. So I sat on the bench the whole game and watched the game. We ended up winning. Like I'm sitting there in pain. It was bad. And so I had bent it, and this whole time it's broken. Nobody knew though. So I had it like bent, and they wrapped it with ice on it. The team doctor, which we never got into any details or any lawsuits, anything like that. It was just shit happens.
Yeah.
So for two days, I think it was, I went home with my knee broken. And I was just laying on the couch, and we just thought it was like a deep bruise. So I'm just laying there, and like it got to a point, like I tried to get up on crutches. Like I didn't want to be laying there. I was 15. Like I'm trying to do stuff. So I went to get up on crutches, and like it just hurt so bad. Like I started tearing up, and my grandma was there, and she's like, "We're going to the hospital right now." She's like, "This is like there's something going on." So we went. They did X-rays, and then like immediately they came out. They're like, "Okay, we're gonna go to Tampa. You have to have surgery." I was in all children's for like 4 days. Didn't play the rest of that season, but then I played the next season, most of the season, and then like with 2 games left or 3 games left, I got mono. So I couldn't play because I had mono, and there's like something wrong like with your organs when you have it. So if I would have got hit, it was just issues. So I missed the rest of that season. And then so slowly I just got out of football, and then music just kind of took over. But fortunate enough, I feel like I'm pretty good with music, so I felt like that was where I was supposed to be. But
yeah,
I had a pretty tough ride with football. I also broke my hand when I was younger, like 13. So I was just, it just went on from there. It was tough.
Jeez.
it was tough.
With the femur injury, did you have any damage to your knee too, or was it just that bone just straight broke?
It was just bone. Nothing tore, anything like that. And I really haven't had much issues with it. I don't really have any pain.
That's awesome.
I have full range of motion. Like, I'm pretty fortunate. Like, my knee's good for now. I'm still young. I'm only 23, so we'll see when I'm, like, 60.
Did they have to put any hardware in you to heal?
Yeah, I got 2 screws they put through the side of it. They're still in there. And they told me, like, oh, you can take them out eventually, years in the future. But I'm like, you don't have to. So I'm like, why would I? It's just tougher, you know,
mm-hmm.
in case something happens again.
Did you see Tony Hawk broke his femur? Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk just broke his femur on a vert ramp.
I was like, man, I feel you. Dude, I was like, holy shit.
You hear about that injury and like, isn't that the biggest bone in your body, your femur?
It's the strongest.
Yeah. So for that one to break, you got to go through some, you got to be skating a vert ramp. You got to be get hit right. like that just the right way.
And it sounds bad, but I'm like, I wish there was footage of Tony Hawk because I'm like, I want to see like what happened.
Yeah, I wanted to see it too.
But it probably won't put that out. We'll see. Maybe someone will find it.
Yep.
It's somewhere.
Yeah. I tore my ACL twice skateboarding and I don't know how, but I got both injuries on footage.
Really?
And yeah. So he was like, I never wanted to look at the footage, but at the same time, like once I started like getting over the fears and like not really trying not to be superstitious about anything, now it's like kind of cool to go back and look at the footage and see exactly right. what went wrong. And like I even be showing, I work at a school, so like I'd be showing kids. So I'd be like, look at, you want to see me cry? Because they'll, right. cause they'll like act like they're too tough to cry. And I'm like, bro, cry if you need to. This hurt like hell.
Yeah. Crying lets the sadness out of you.
Uh-huh. I was alone whenever I tore it the first time, too. I lived in Ooh. Pennsylvania at the time, and I was just got off work, was trying to get a clip for my video part, went parked up, at, and it was, like, in the middle of nowhere, too. So, like, I got pretty lucky that I didn't, you know, God forbid, hit my head or something. I wouldn't have been able to drive home, but right. I tore it, and, like, immediately, first person I called was my boss, told him, probably not coming in tomorrow, I don't know when I'll come in, I'll let you know,
right.
and then I just somehow was able to get myself home and hobble up the road to wow. my house. Yeah, it was crazy.
So you drove home. Was that your pedal foot?
No, it was my left leg. I drive stick now. Luckily, I didn't back then because I was able to just, like, right foot, get myself home, but our other older brother tore his ACL back in the day skating, too, and I remember how swollen his knee got when that happened, so my first thing I did was take off my pants because I knew I was going to get, like, grapefruit-sized knee.
Right, you get stuck on there.
Yeah.
And you did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was very swollen.
So it runs in the family then, so you got to watch out.
I did it twice, so you don't got to.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
Took it twice, yeah.
I got it for you, brother.
That's tough.
So who were some of your first musical inspirations then, as you were, like, moving along and realizing, like, music was a big passion?
Well, for the people watching, this is definitely one of them, Mac Miller.
One of the greatest to ever do it.
He was, because when I first started getting into rap, I was young. My dad, my mom were young when they had me. So they would listen to rap early 2000s. I was born in 98. So they were listening to rap early 2000s. So I would listen to 50 Cent, Eminem, Ludacris, you know, Ja Rule, Kanye, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started, like, really picking my own music, it was like, you know, 2010, 2011. I was getting into middle school and it was Mac Miller, Wiz Khalifa.
Lil Wayne,
Eminem, of course, because Eminem was still doing his thing at the time.
Yep.
He had just dropped No Afraid, or Not Afraid, I think. So there was Mac Miller, Wiz Khalifa were two big ones, I would say, growing up. And then when I was like 12, I would say I was about 12 years old, I started smoking weed. So that was kind of my scene at the time, you know. I started skating, and that was just kind of my whole vibe, my whole aesthetic, you know. But like as I've grown older and stuff, different people have started to pop up that I found that I kind of, like, you know, am attracted to more, and their vibe and their ideology. You know, there's a guy named Mod Sun. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, he's dope.
He's one of my favorites now. Once I found out about him, I was probably like 15, and just his whole mantra, his whole vibe, I think is really cool. Just the positivity. He has a tattoo on his stomach. It's happy to be here. So I got it tattooed on my arm here because I was like, it's just a cool thing. It's just a reminder, like, you know, be positive at all times. You got to find the silver lining.
100%.
So he's someone that's definitely stood out. There's a guy named Caskey that I found, like, early in high school, too. He's from Orlando originally, and he's grown from when I found him. I've watched him grow a lot and kind of an awakening, and just his whole vibe and his whole ideology is really cool. And he's someone that I've looked up to in the last, like, 4 years, 5 years. But early, definitely Mac Miller, Wiz Khalifa, Eminem, just for, like, me wanting to do music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those were some big ones.
Yeah, and just the skill level, like, who better to look at? Because there are some names who are, like,
right.
If you're trying to write good, write well, and, like, you know, learn how to use a beat to the highest advantage, those are the dudes, you know what I mean?
And Mac Miller's someone that's also, like, just dynamic, and he's changed his vibe a few different times, you know, from early, it was kind of just, like, boom bap style, and it's kind of, you know, just rocking, like, the early, like, 2010 vibe, mm-hmm. and to where, like, before he passed, where it was just kind of, like, real, just kind of deep and more slower and intricate, kind of mystical. Just like he just had like a whole different vibe. Like you can tell he was being experimental, which is what you should do, because that's where like rap wasn't a thing at one point. If people weren't experimenting, you know, it wouldn't be here. So people need to experiment. I think it's good for sure. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What was like the propelling factor that led you to just start writing or just putting it, recording? Yeah, definitely recording.
I think when I was in high school and middle school, I've always liked reading and writing. Like that was my best subject always. And I just, like when I was younger, I found myself writing poems, and I've always liked music, of course. So they just naturally went together. Mm-hmm. So I remember I would like have poems that I would write or type up on the computer, and I would put like backgrounds behind them, like roses and stuff like that, and like print them out and give them to like my mom and stuff like that. Like just poems and just the whole art of it. Like I've always been into art in general. So I just throughout school, like reading and writing was a big thing. So I remember like all my English teachers, I was always in honor English, and they would always say like, you're a really good writer. Like I would like writing stories. Like that's something I've still thought about doing, just getting into fiction novels and just being able to create stuff. I love when people can just like create like whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's the coolest thing. So growing up, I just like being able to write and create whatever I want. So I just kind of, that's just what it was. I love to write. And eventually I always was in chorus because I was into music. So from like 5th grade to 10th grade, I was in chorus. And so I put 2 and 2 together, but I liked to sing. And I realized I wasn't that great of a singer. So then I was like, okay, well, we'll shorten these notes up, you know, make it a little shorter, make it a little faster. And then I can just kind of go to this beat. And I was like, I can be Mac Miller. I can be Wiz Khalifa if I want, you know, and I started making my poems, making music with it. And it just, it worked, kind of combined a few different factors that I was going with.
I love that. Did you have like a circle of friends that were doing all that same thing too? Or was that more of like an independent exploration?
When I was in school, it wasn't many of my friends that were into music that I noticed. I was the only one in chorus out of my friend group that I had, quote unquote, cause I'm not friends with really any of them now, of course. And that's what happens. But they were all like, oh, haha, like you're in chorus. Like they weren't on the same vibe, you know. It wasn't until after I graduated and I started reaching out and like looking for people that were involved with music to where I really got, you know, that connection and that group, you know. Because mm-hmm. in school, people, they have their different cliques and stuff. And not that I was in the wrong one, but for where I want to be now and like what I'm doing now, looking back, I was, but I wouldn't be where I am if things didn't work out how they did. So
yeah,
if I would have thought and chose, I probably would have went with a different crowd to enhance my music better, but I was just doing my thing. I had a different mindset back then.
Yeah, for sure. Was there a certain moment you remember recently or back then maybe where you realized, okay, maybe this is what I'm going to do. Like maybe this is why I'm here and like this is what I need to pursue. Or did it just kind of come naturally over time?
I think it just kind of happened. I had graduated high school and I thought about like starting to like write raps and try to like make like hip hop music, you know. And I started writing some stuff and I would like do voice memos on my phone. And I was traveling with my dad at the time. As soon as I got out of high school, he was traveling in an RV, and that was kind of, he had set up that whole vibe. So where he was just traveling full time and it was super cool. So as soon as I graduated, he was like, oh, like I'm going to take you on like a 2-month trip. So we went, he was in North South Carolina. So I flew there and we went cross country to California and we stopped in each state for like a few days, you know, up through Colorado into Wyoming. We did Yellowstone, that whole thing.
Oh,
so
nice.
It was a really cool trip. But at the time I had just graduated, so I was feeling pretty lost. I didn't have anything planned. So I was kind of depressed at the time. So I didn't appreciate it as much because I was kind of in like some weird limbo state, you know? Mm-hmm. So looking back, I'm like, man, that was so cool. I got to see so much, but I should have appreciated it more. But once I got back, I kind of got into this groove I found out that one of my friends that I had met later on in high school started to make music, and him and another friend that I was acquaintances with. So I was like, man, if they can do it, I can do it. Like I've been writing stories and poems for a few years now. So I was like, you know, I'll give it a shot. So I started writing stuff. And then it was January 1st, 2018. Me and my friend Tyreek put out our first song. It was called Green or Green, or I think we just called it Green. And it was actually a remix. We took the beat from Kodak and X. They did the song Roll in Peace. Mm-hmm. And so we used that beat and we just kind of made a remix. What? And we mix it on our own. Like I just said, look some stuff up on YouTube, got a couple hints from some people and put it on SoundCloud. And it ended up getting like 1,000 plays within like a couple weeks. Nice. Just, it was our first song ever. People were like, oh my God, like they're making music. Like we just kind of got out of high school. So it was pretty cool. So it was actually 4 years ago this year. So still pretty fresh.
What was his name?
Tyreek. Right now he goes by Gonjareek. Used to go by Fat Reek, but he's lost a lot of weight, so he changed it. Good for him.
Good for him, dude. Yeah, dude. That's sick, man. Yeah, that kind of instant gratification must have felt nice, you know?
It was nice. And must have
been a good little key as far as like, hey, man, we can do this, you know?
It was cool. It reminded me of sales a lot, too, like where you're going and you'll get like 10 yes or 10 no's and then you'll get that one yes and you're like, all right. And then so that gives you the motivation to try 10 more times until you get that next yes.
Yeah.
But after we dropped that song, that same year, I ended up putting out like 20 to 30 songs because I was like, all right, let me like start doing this all on SoundCloud. And they were really bad. Like I listen to them now and I'm like, oh man, like but it's good that I hear that. And I'm like, I've progressed so much, but we put out so many songs and they were not getting nearly as many views off Rip as before. Cause people were like, oh, like that first one, they were like shocked. They were like, oh, let's check it out. And then like we weren't that good, so we're putting out all these songs and people were like, yeah, it's all right. And it kind of slowed down, but I bought a mic after a while. I got some speakers, I got a new computer, so I was investing in it and then just practice and slowly got better. So right now I'm in a decent spot, I think.
Heck yeah.
Nice. Do you still have something right now? Do you have something set up at the crib where you can mess around? And
I do, yeah. I have my little mic set up on little desk, my speakers, just so I can record. If I just even to hear something and get ideas from just having it, so I can listen to it and not having to like do it live and listen to the beat, you know, and just be able to be hands off until I want to record it somewhere officially, you know, just having like a rough draft.
Yep.
It's just good to be able to create and fix stuff, you know.
Yeah, for sure. When you're recording, when you're at your house, are you, I know you said you had the speakers, like say you're listening to a beat, getting ready to like lay down some lyrics, do you prefer headphones on where you can like hear your voice or hear the beat that way, or like speakers out loud and hear your voice without headphones? Because I know there's like a, we've interviewed people and it's been like a, it's like a pick and pull. Some people love this way, hate this way.
I'm kind of in the middle. For me right now, the headphones I have aren't great for mixing and mastering because they're just beats. So the bass is super deep and loud, and that's not realistic for how it's going to sound. So I record with the headphones on my beats just so I can hear the beat while I'm recording. And I'll usually have like one headphone off because I just like to hear like natural my voice. But when I'm mixing, I'll mix through the speakers just because it's more of a realistic what it's going to sound like on a phone or in a car or something, just because my headphones aren't set up exactly right. But there are some good headphones that'll have like an open back on them to where you can really get a good sound of like a realistic vibe, you know? Yeah. And that's something that I need to get. That's probably my next step, honestly. So it really just depends on the headphones, I would say. Mine aren't set up right now, though.
True. Are you, what are you mixing on?
Mixcraft. Okay. It's the first one I've ever like used anything. So I'm comfortable on it. It's not the best one by far, but I'm just so comfortable on it. I feel like once I'm able to master it, that's good, like not better, not good enough, but a equal level to where I would be if I was beginning or mediocre on a new one until I'm in the right situation and set up, I feel. Because also it takes a lot of time and money. Some of these are more expensive. Like an ideal one would be like Logic Pro or Pro Tools, something like that, but the cost is up there. So right now I'm just working with what I got, but mastering this one is I still feel is, you know, beneficial. So where I, when I get a new program, I'll know enough from just the DAW settings and just the basics of it to where I can have a good foundation on a new one.
For sure. Yeah. See, some people don't take that mindset and they'll just want to wait until they like got the like state of the art stuff.
Exactly.
And it really does take like just working with what you got, even if it's just like pen and paper for right now. You don't have anything to make a song. Like even if you're just writing and writing and writing until you get that one thing and then building, you know, building blocks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Foundation is having a poetry background. Do you ever have there ever been songs you've made into like, you know, something to put out from a poem? Like, has it gone from just writing of a poem into a song, or is it more like you need to hear the beat to kind of like write to the tempo?
It's a little bit of both. Most of the time I'll start with the beat just because I feel like that really is the whole kind of vibe and the aesthetic of the song, you know, the feelings, whether it's you can tell if it's a sad beat or you can tell if it's more upbeat or dramatic. So I'll usually start with the beat to match whatever vibe I'm wanting to go for. Unless I already have a whole story in mind or like a whole idea of like how I want things to go. And then I'll write it out first and then I'll try to find a beat that matches. Just for me, that's a little harder because I'm just searching through not random beats, but basically rather than being in a studio with someone where I can say, hey, I want it to sound like this to match this vibe and I want like this cadence and this BPM, you know, and have them make it on the spot. I just, right now I don't have that, but I know a lot of the times people have that ability. So that's definitely ideal. But usually for now I pick the beat first just because it makes the process a little easier to match the beat rather than try to find a beat that matches the flow and everything that I want exactly. But one day.
Heck yeah. Get there. Do you still write poetry or is that art form kind of fully transferred into music making?
It's basically just transferred. That's kind of just my outlet for that now.
All right.
I'll listen to a bunch of different people to try to get inspiration and just pick apart what they do differently than this person and just try to, you know, take different things. Everyone, you know, take different things from different people, put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I'm trying to do better is not rhyme as much. And I feel like that's a problem that I have. And I'll listen to people and I'm like, you know, they're not really rhyming that much, but it still sounds like it's going together and it's a whole like collective and it's flowing good, but they're not really rhyming as often as I do. And I'm sometimes thinking like, maybe I'm doing too much, you know, like too many rhymes like per sentence or every other, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm trying to like make it a little more not so structured, you know what I mean?
Yeah, freestyle.
Just like whatever, because music doesn't really have to be anything specific. It's whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm trying to make it too much like cadence and like I'll have to rhyme this and I have to rhyme, you know, like a certain way.
Yeah. And sometimes when you're like searching for certain words to go together in sequence or in a rhyme, it's like kind of takes away from what you're trying to say at the end of the day, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And you're thinking too much about it. Mm-hmm. And then that's a big problem I have is I overthink stuff. So sometimes then I'll just take a break and I'll be like, oh, I'll come back to it tomorrow.
Let it marinate, yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's something that if you harp on something too much, then you're like, I don't even like it anymore. So you're like, whatever. So letting things breathe is a big thing for sure.
Have you heard Code of the Friend?
Yes.
Dude, I haven't listened to him a lot, but just recently he put me onto him and he's someone who I was just listening to a song, one of his the other day that like, there was a certain pattern he had in this, I don't remember what song it was, but there was a pattern. And then I noticed some lines didn't rhyme. And I was like, oh, like that didn't rhyme. But just the stories he tells, I'm like, who cares if it rhymed? It's like, that's beautiful music, you know? And then he'll come at you with a bar that's like, man, that was well written.
And that bar might have rhymed five sentences before that, but it still tied it back all together. Mm-hmm. He's someone that I've actually found recently too, that I wasn't like listening to much in the last few years, but the last couple of weeks, he's been on my playlist repeatedly.
Yeah. He's got cool messages too. He's got a good outlook on life and like some of the messages in his songs. I'm like, this dude's dope. This dude seems like a cool guy.
He's definitely open-minded and he's got a good, just natural vibe and flow.
For sure.
He's someone that, yeah, he's definitely going to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. You've been to any shows since you've been out here?
None since I've been here. I've reached out to some people to try to find some different avenues. I've seen there's a Kava bar up on Fort Myers Beach here that does open mics.
So oh, it's a solid place.
That's somewhere I've been thinking about doing recently.
I'd recommend it. All those Kava Culture open mics are pretty good vibes. really good places to practice too.
Right. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's free. You're just pulling up. And even if it's $5, I mean, still you're getting a chance to perform for people, and that's good enough. I mean, if you like music, most of the time you like performing, like it's a good vibe. I love performing.
Yeah.
It's just like just rush of energy and just like peace, but mm-hmm. like energetic peace. It's weird, but it's super cool. I've done 3 shows like overall since I've been making music, and it's the best time ever. I love it.
Heck yeah.
How'd that first one feel?
It was cool. It was in Colorado. And I got in touch with some people that had a studio. It was like an hour from where I lived, but I was just trying to make connections. So I was like, it's fine. I'll drive an hour. So I drive an hour north to Longmont. I was living in Parker, which is a little south of Denver. And then Longmont's a little north of Denver. So I drove up and around Denver, and they were offering, basically they were doing like an opening ceremony for their studio. So they were like, oh, like whoever wants to come and perform, if you perform, we'll give you studio time. And I'm like, so I haven't performed. I'm like, I get to perform and I get studio time. And I was still pretty new at the time. I'd only been making music for like a year. So I'm like, oh, definitely, I'll drive an hour. That's like win-win for me. Mm-hmm. And I ended up making a bunch of good connections there. I made some songs with a guy. He went by, I can't remember it exactly. We don't talk that much anymore. It was like Trippy Kid or something. But it was just cool. I got to go, and it was like a warehouse setup. They had like a bunch of different garages, like different workplaces, but they had like their own little section. And they had like different DJs came out, and like we just performed like right in the opening of where like the shed would come up, you know. But it was cool. It was anything. And there was like probably 20, 25 people there. I was living with 4 other roommates at the time. My buddy Dylan, his wife, Nick, and Justin. And my buddy Dylan and his wife came. They drove an hour just to come and see me. And I was like, oh man, that's really cool. Like, I appreciate awesome. That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to just be able to get my music out there and get feedback from people, because that was the first time I've ever really got live feedback, heard anything, you know, up front like that. It was cool.
And definitely. Sometimes having that opportunity to not only perform for people, but then to have that like face-to-face interaction where you can like, right. you know, go and like, if the next person's performing, you're watching them and you're like getting a drink with someone and like, oh, you just performed, right? And you can like have a little talk with them.
Exactly.
And then that person's so much more likely to, like, you know, go follow your music and watch for your drops, you know. Right. What I mean,
exactly. Yeah, it's definitely cool, and that's the biggest thing is networking. I saw a quote earlier from something on Instagram, and it said, if you're not networking, you're not working. And I'm like, that's basically it. Like,
yeah,
networking is everything.
Mm-hmm.
For basically anything, like any business you have, whether it's like construction or landscaping or your music or anything, like if you're networking, like that's how you're going to get your money. If that's what you love to do, like that's your process.
Mm-hmm.
You
for
have
sure.
to network everything.
Yep. Yeah, so much of it sure. is about who you know. That's one thing I love about this area too, is like as you start performing and like meeting some of the other creators, there's like so much, there's so little competition feel, and it's more like community feel, to where like the people who are performing after you are going to be right there like cheering you on to perform, and vice versa. And then like all y'all become friends after. And at least from what I've experienced, it seems like so many people around here are like that, where it's just super down to collaborate, super down to just like support each other. And I love it.
Yeah, I've noticed that from just me doing research on like Instagram, social media and stuff. It seems like everyone's kind of connected. So I've been able to find a big group of people, but I found everyone individually, but they're all tied together. And I'm like, oh man, that's really cool. Like there is like this whole kind of music collective here that when I was in Sebring, like there was nothing really like that. Like mm-hmm. there was people making music, but nobody was working together. It was like competition. When here it's like, it's teamwork. Cause like if you're shouting him out and he's shouting you out, you're exchanging fans, like you're both going to benefit from it. Like everyone should just work together, and then you put it on for the whole city, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing.
And so many people are like doing it themselves, like with the age we live in now, with like everyone's got a little home studio set up and this and that. It's like so many of us around here are experimenting and trying new ideas to like get a little bit of traction or get some sort of attention. Just you know, like there's even a group of people recently who paid for an Airbnb, and that's just like got 10 creators from around here posted up at the Airbnb, and all of them just spent like a weekend or something making music together and just hanging out. And that's the kind of stuff that I love to see, you know.
That's super cool. I heard about that. It was the 239 sessions.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Before they did it, I had actually reached out to Ivan, the hippie, and I was going, I like tried to get involved. It was the first time I'd reached out to anybody, but it just didn't end up working out. But I thought the idea was really cool. I wish I would have been able to get there and do the whole thing, but that was super cool. I liked that a lot. Mm-hmm. When I saw that, I was like, that's a good group of people, you know?
For sure. Yeah. Ivan's a good dude too. And he's someone who's really pushing the culture just with like trying to innovate, trying to like come up with some new ideas and just keep people juiced and fueled to create.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's someone I've definitely noticed. I like his music, his vibe is definitely really cool.
And it's crazy how many of those dudes have come up from the Kava Bar open mics, the Kava Culture open mics. Like, have you heard of XNVIX and all those dudes?
I have. I saw a picture the other day. I was just, of course, I was just doing some research trying to network, and I saw a picture of them all. So I went and looked at all their pages and stuff, and it seems like they got a nice group going on. Yeah, and dude. Seemed like they got a cool vibe.
They're cool dudes. And all of them, dude, they started at open mics and just like as a group performing at these little open mics. Sometimes there'd be two people in the crowd. Sometimes there'd be 30 and they would try to kill it every single time, bring the same energy every single time. And now they, you know, they're killing it as far as like performing and stuff. So now whenever they actually have a show coming up next Friday, I think, called Blackout. I think it's next Friday, but either way, the now it's like an anticipated thing. Now it's like everyone knows if XNVIX is playing, like go to their show because they're gonna bring that energy.
Right, absolutely. That's a big deal for sure. I think that's something that's important is when you have that solid fan base starting out, like you said, like performing for 2 or 30, but like if you're going all out, those two turn into fans, then they tell two and they tell two, you know, and then it spreads and then you have 30 solid fans coming. And then it just grows from there. So no matter how many people it is, performing your best is definitely important.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Your most recent song you dropped is Patient, right?
Yeah.
That's the most recent one. I was wondering how much time went into writing that. Because like the flow on that is super sick. And just the way some of the rhyme schemes in that, it's like, it's super dope. And I just wonder how quick that came to you.
Honestly, it was fairly quick. Most of the time, it doesn't take me more than a day or so to write a song. The one I wrote this week, it took me about 2 days, but that's just because I was doing it in between things. But that one was one where I was kind of like anticipating having a session where I would sit down and I wanted to make something. Mm-hmm. So I found the beat. The beat was called Patient. So, and that actually just happens to be sometimes what I'll do is if I'm just wanting to just come up with something on the spot, like I didn't anticipate writing about like a specific event in my life or a story, I just, you know, want something to come out, you know, I'll sometimes just start by going off of whatever they name the song, and usually it actually works out that works with the vibe, whatever they thought in their head to name that worked perfectly for me. So that was actually what the beat was called, Patient. So, and at the time I was kind of slowing down, and even in the last year, like I recorded and wrote that song over a year ago. And I did the video over a year ago too. And then I didn't put anything out until just recently when I released it. And so it was kind of funny. I was like subconsciously anticipating me taking a break. And so that song just happened to be called Patient, and it worked out to where I made it, and then I didn't drop anything and really do much promo or anything for almost a year, just kind of trying to get my mind right and wanted to realize what I wanted to talk about and kind of get my image how I wanted it. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I drop it about a year later. So it's just funny that it's called Patient. But I did notice waiting so long that I did sacrifice a lot of people's attention, and I wouldn't say loyalty, but when you're not that big, people waiting so long, they tend to forget about you because you're not that big yet and you're not as good as you can be. But as for the creative process, it really just kind of happened pretty fast and organically. And that's why it's definitely one of my favorite and best songs in my opinion, because I've just practiced so much to where it's got to a point where I just feel like I do it naturally. And that's why I love it so much, because it's not really too hard for me. It sounds bad to say, but like, it's when you love what you do, it comes easy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now with the songs that are more of like a storytelling, have more storytelling aspect, or you're trying to convey a message, like some lesson you learned in your life or something like that. Are those ones that also come like pretty quick within a session or two, or are those ones you kind of have to sit on, come up with some bars, like maybe like fill it in as time goes and eventually it is what you want it to be?
Yeah, that is definitely the case. Exactly. There is a topic that I've wanted to write about for a while, and there's some topics that I've already written about and put songs out like on SoundCloud when I first started that I wish I wouldn't have, because I feel like I could have made a better song to cover the whole topic and to like do it honor, you know what I mean? But there's a song and a topic that I haven't written about yet because I want it to come off correctly and I want it to be genuine and just to flow right. But this week I've actually started writing it and I've wrote most of it so far. I'll probably go back and change some stuff up and rework it. But I've wanted to write about it for a few years now and I actually started writing about it this week and it kind of come pretty organically. Nice. I found a beat that really just kind of was the vibe that I was feeling and it's kind of just happened. So sometimes when I have ideas like about a specific event or something, just holding on to it until the right moment, even though it happened 6-7 years ago, I still feel like it's worthy enough to tell and people would be interested enough. And it's something that was significant in my life. So holding on to it until I feel like it's the right moment, until like it is good enough to put out, you know, rather than not wasting it, but sacrificing what could be like better quality and better storytelling, you know?
Yeah. That's a nice little teaser. Do you have a name for the record yet?
No, not yet. I'm not sure. Just because with the names, I try to make it something that is not obvious to what the song's about, but also is interesting. But as for the hook, I'm not sure what the hook's going to be on this one yet. I wrote a hook, but I also wrote like a bridge that could be another hook. So I'm still kind of deciding on where I'm going to place each, you know, chorus or hook, kind of moving stuff around. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there. That one will probably take another month or so to finish, just because I wanted to be right. Yeah, and this person is probably going to hear it. So, and I don't want it to come off the wrong way, even though it is about something that they did negatively. We're not necessarily on bad terms. We're not on good terms. We fell off after this event, but I just feel like it's something that needs to be just put out there, you know, to clear the air. So we'll see.
I'm excited for that to come out.
Thanks. Yeah. We'll see. So far, I like it. I don't want it to be, you know, too negative towards him, even though it was a negative situation. But I don't want it to be like, you know, too much, but I want it to address, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
That's probably going to feel so good.
It's touchy.
Yeah. But once all that does click together, and I feel like once all those little elements line up and you do put it out, right, that'll almost be like a step of healing, you know? Like whatever damage that this event did to you, like once that record comes out, it'll be like almost like a weight off, yeah. I bet.
I agree. Yeah. That's something I've thought about a lot too. And even just talking about it now in writing it and stuff, I get like anxious and I'm like, yeah, man, like, am I saying this right? Like, it's weird, you know? Mm-hmm. It's always been, like, a weird subject for sure, so. But that's what music's for.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So, yeah. It's interesting.
And who knows, there might be a day you're working, you know? Because sometimes I notice at work is when, like, the most little creative light bulbs come off, and there might just be something will click, and you'll be like, that's it. And then you'll add it, and, you know, you'll be ready to put it out.
And that's funny you say work, because, I mean, as of like lately I've been driving for work, so I have a lot of time on my own to listen to beats and just freestyle in the car and come up with ideas on the spot. Mm-hmm. But even when I was doing landscaping, I'm going around and I'm mowing or I'm trimming something, I'm on my own and I have music.
Yeah.
And I would come up with ideas and I'd stop and get on my notes. So I'm like, shit, let me write this down real quick. Cause you're just, when you're focused and you're in a groove,
mm-hmm.
it just naturally things flow. So whatever your subconscious is thinking, which for me, of course, is music most of the time, that's what pops up into my head, like, oh, think about this phrase that you could use for a hook. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So that's, work is definitely a good place to come up with creative ideas, oddly enough.
For sure. It's crazy how that works, too. It's like there's got to be some sort of science behind it where it's like if you're, because mm-hmm. I worked at a grocery store for a long time, and like I would work in the mornings, early in the morning, just stocking shelves and stuff. So it got to a point where it's like you're just in lockstep. You're not having to think too much. You're just doing what you got to do until you go home. And like having, you know, if you're someone who creates music, having a beat in your, you know, that's when your brain can, your creative brain can just be ticking away, you know?
Right. Yeah. And like you said, you're just kind of like almost like a robot in the sense where you don't need your brain because mm-hmm. your muscle memory is just doing the work for you.
Yeah.
So you're like working on two things at one time and you don't even really have to try that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I don't make music, but I write a lot of poetry. And there were some times where I would want to you know, have something I wanted to message, I wanted to convey, and want it to be like a very gradual process of like, I want it to be perfect, like a sculpture, just chisel away at it. But then there'd be certain days where I'd be at work and it'd almost be like within a couple hours, it's like, there it is. All right. It just like formed itself somehow in my brain.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the thing with like overthinking too. Like you just have to just let things come naturally. Yeah. There's like this saying that I've heard, if you have to force it, it's probably shit. And I'll just never forget it because that's just, it's so real. It's so true. I'm like, man, that's so legit. Like in any aspect, in anything.
Yeah,
like
for real.
If you really have to force it, and that's not like work. That's not like working hard and like working overtime, like forcing it to where like it's just not working and not working and not working and causing you like a lot of problems and issues in your life. Like, yeah. Then you're trying to force it too much. Just let it go. And then if it wants to come back, then it'll come back. Mm-hmm. It's weird how life works, but it's cool.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
You gotta force it. What is it? What is it again? If you gotta force it, it's probably shit.
Yeah. You gotta force it, it's probably shit. Don't trust a fart.
Yeah, dude.
So do you have any specific plans just in the near future as far as like you creatively around here? Like you want to start doing features with people or like performing or?
Basically, yeah, everything. I'm pretty open. I'm pretty open person in general, open-minded. So I'm really open to working with anyone and really any genre too. Because growing up, I played drums. That was like my first musical kind of aspect that I like really started harping in on and learning. Mm-hmm. My grandpa started teaching me basics on drums. I had a basic set when I was like 10. And then by 13, I ended up having this huge set where I had two floor basses. Instead of having like a double bass pedal, my mom found this set from a friend. So I had two floor basses, had four toms up top. I had two floor toms, and I had like two crashes, like two other cymbals. And I just had this whole big set in the garage.
Wow.
And I would just go out there and I would just go ham. And it wasn't the best. I mean, I learned a good bit. I played for like 6 years or so. And then I stopped because I was playing sports more often and I ended up selling it. But nowadays I'm like, man, like I want to play drums like pretty bad. Like I think about it pretty often. So like I'm really open to doing like any style of music. Like I would even go and drum for a band if the opportunity was there. Because I can still make my music on the side and then go and drum on like the weekends or whatever and fill in for people. I played guitar a little bit. My girl's better at guitar than me, but I can strum, I can change chords, you know what I mean? But really all genres, I'm really open to anything.
That's sick.
For sure.
I bet you could too, dude. It seems like there's always a shortage of drummers. So I'm sure if you just put your foot out there, bro.
There's this new app I got. I'm going to look on my phone just so I can get the name right real quick. I have it right here. Vamper is what it's called. And it's Tinder for musicians. That's the best way to put it.
That's so sick.
Yeah. And I found it the other day through TikTok, which I'm also new to just because I feel like just you have to get with the times because I feel like everything's kind of amplified on there. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like people are getting a lot of followers easier. They're getting a lot of views. So I feel like I'm doing a disservice not to put my music out on there and put my videos on there. So I found Vamper from TikTok and it's basically like Tinder for musicians. And you go and you make your profile, whatever like music you make, what you're looking for, like the whole vibe. And then you swipe left or swipe right.
That's so cool.
Based on like what their vibe is, what they're looking for. It's super cool. Yeah. Okay. It's definitely a big thing. So I've seen on there about the drummers, people are looking for drummers. They're like, hey, I'm looking for a drummer. Like, hey, looking to start a band. Like, it's like this is a need right now. And so I've swiped on a couple of them. So we'll see. I'm not opposed to it.
Heck yeah, dude.
For sure.
Yeah, and TikTok. The cool thing about TikTok too is the I feel like the algorithm. It helps put whatever you're posting, put your content in front of people that are gonna want to see it. So it's like anyone who would be into your music or whatever it is you're doing or posting about. You're more likely to get eyes on it of someone who wants to see it. You know what I mean? Opposed to like other social media platforms where it's like hit or miss. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely. And I've noticed just from research and stuff, I look shit up all the time. The more you post on there, and I've seen people giving advice on TikTok about posting on TikTok, which is the coolest thing. It's like a kind of like a mini version of YouTube. Like you can post whatever you want, how tutorial videos, whatever you want. So I've seen people talk about it and they're like, man, the more you post, like if you post like four videos a day, use some popular sounds, like just be like consistent and like post all the time, like you'll get traction no matter what. just because you're being consistent and you're putting out a lot of content.
For sure.
Based on the algorithm, like, naturally it'll just bring people to you.
Yeah.
So today I was on there and the sound came up and it was just a video of just something random. A lot of people that have used the sound have like posted videos of them like working out or doing something like at work or something basic. But the sound is basically saying, like for people that have like less than 10,000 followers, like this video, follow and comment teamwork. And whoever likes your comment on the video, they have to follow you back. So I go and I look at all these comments and there's so many people using this sound, hundreds of thousands of comments. So I go and I'm liking all these comments because they're supposed to follow me back. And so by the end of today, I've gained almost 200 followers just from doing that little tactic. Wow. And so that's people going back on there because they know they commented that. They're like, oh, let me go follow this person back because that's what it was.
And just clicking the follow button.
And so I commented on there because I felt like that was the right thing. You know, I'm not going to cheat it. I want to like be genuine about it. And so everyone that liked my comments, I've been following them back because I want it to be like legit. You know, I feel that's like awesome. That's the right thing to do with karma. If I'm not going to follow them back, they're going to, why should they follow me back, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's worked and it's cool how people work together. Like we were talking about like teamwork and just building the community.
Yeah.
So it's super cool.
And some of the features on TikTok too, like how they have the like duets and stuff. I've seen like, mm-hmm. I saw Logic the other day, just had like some beat that he was making and he like plays it for his TikTok or Instagram reel or whatever it was. And he like raps some bars and then he gives the opportunity, like you could like duet it and then you can fill in. And he's like, y'all like show me what you got. I'll put you in the track. Like whenever the album comes out. And that's so cool to just let creatives like respond to that as many times as they want, or as many people as they want, just like rap to it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's actually probably one of the coolest things that I've seen since I've been on TikTok is the open verses, because it's giving people an opportunity to like, hey, like you literally could be a feature on this famous song.
Mm-hmm.
And the best example is Russ. Obviously you guys probably know who Russ is.
Oh, yeah.
He's also a big inspiration, super great artist. He puts them out pretty often. He's pretty big on TikTok. So he put out this open verse recently to his song Handsomer that he put out that's doing really well. And this girl, Caitlin, did an open verse on it, put it on her TikTok, and it blew up like big time. And so he puts out an official remix with her on it.
That's
and
amazing.
And I'm like, wow, like just because she like stitched or duetted his TikTok and she did her thing and she like went hard, and he's like, oh, okay. So now that's official. And now she's getting all these fans from him, and mm-hmm. she's probably getting royalties from the song, obviously. So that's just a big step. And that's just from TikTok, just doing whatever you can, you know.
That's network. Awesome. That's a boss move by Russ, dude. That's right? That's awesome.
Yeah, Russ is,
he's
man,
great.
He puts on. Yeah, he's all independent and he's huge.
He's calculated with it. He's really nice with it.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, the fact that he's so independent and makes his own beats and does his own production.
He makes his own beats?
Everything.
I didn't know that.
Most of them. And if he doesn't, you can tell. Like, he'll give credit. But majority of them, like his first album he did, it's called There's Really a Wolf or something. I think it's something along those lines. Something, it was a wolf vibe. And he mixed, mastered, produced every track on the song. The whole thing was just
that's
him.
That's crazy.
And it went platinum. He was the first artist ever to do that. And I was like, man, that's such an inspiration. So that's another reason why I'm like, just do it myself.
For
he even has a song that is called Do It Myself, I think is the title. And that's like the hook. He's like, I'll need him. I'll need her. Fuck it. I'll do it myself. And I'm like... like, you're right. You're doing it.
He proved it.
I'm like, wow. I'm like, that's definitely impressive. So he's definitely a big one for sure.
That's sick. Yeah. Shout out Russ, dude.
Yeah.
So would that be the deal? Would you take a deal if it came your way, approachable one?
It really all depends. I'm not someone that's like, oh, like I'll never take a deal. Like I don't mess with labels. Of course, it's getting more obvious now that there is corruption in the industry. And that there's a lot of greedy people at the top that run these labels. But at the same time, they are giving you a platform and are putting you on to some sense to make it to where this is your everyday life and that you can do this for a living. So all the people that are like, oh, like I hate my label, I went out of my deal, this and that, you're still hearing about it. Those people are still famous. So they're at least lucky enough to be in that position to where they can even ask to get out of a label. You know what I mean? So at some point you got to be grateful to even get an offer, because that could change your life, no matter if it's $50,000, you know, like advance or whatever it is. So I think my biggest thing with whatever the contract would be is more like creative control. Like, not even so the money. Like, I just want to make enough to where I can pay my bills and make music. Like, I don't have to make millions and millions. Like, if I can make $50,000 a year making music, I'm chilling. Because I'm doing what I love, and I make enough for my bills and to chill and have extra, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as I have creative control, and not necessarily drop whenever I want, but for the most part, and make basically what I want, then yeah, I'll definitely, if they're gonna help me out and promo and give me some money in advance, like, for sure, why not? But creative control, I think, is definitely the biggest part of it. Because
that's big.
A lot of the times you'll hear people talking about, like, oh, like, you guys want new music, but it's not my fault. Like, I'm not allowed to release music. And that's probably the thing that I don't like the most. Like, if people are begging for music, if this artist has music, like, why, like put the music out, you know, like, you're gatekeeping.
Yeah. And I feel like with the experimental aspect, I don't know how it works, like how the industry works or how labels usually do it, but I'm sure, like, if you're an artist and you're famous for, like, a certain, you know, sound or style or whatever, it's like, if you're someone who really wants to go out on a limb and, like, try something different, try out a new, you know, just experiment, the label right. might be someone to be like, well, no, you can't do hip hop now, you need to do this, or you can't do that now, you need to do that, you
exactly,
know, and that
yeah.
would get, like, crushing as a creative, you know?
Exactly. And that's the biggest thing, is if you want to be versatile and creative, then it's hard to be signed to a label unless
yeah.
you have an agreement. Like, I don't remember exactly what Mac Miller's deal was or who he was signed to specifically, but for the most part, it seemed like he had a lot of creative control and he could basically change up the vibe what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, there's a lot of people where they can't change anything up because that's their image, you know, and that's their image is what sells. And if they change it up, they have all these fans that like that, they're not going to sell as much. That's just obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Until they build it up, like G-Eazy, for example. He put out an album like 2 years ago that wasn't really rap at all. It was kind of like electronic, but also just kind of like a slow, like just melodic, kind of like psychedelic vibe. Like, it was just different. And it wasn't bad, but it was not him, how he raps, like how G-Eazy is. And it didn't sell nearly as much as all his previous stuff did. And that's just an example, but at least he was able to try it to see that it didn't work. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? But as long as you're doing what you want, I mean, it still worked in his mind because he got to do it, as long as he enjoyed what he made, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's really
for
all
sure.
that matters.
Yeah.
As long as you're having fun with it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. If you get to make money, that's just a really big bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Right. For sure. Is there anything, I actually, a question I did want to ask is the pictures on your Instagram, which it's like kind of promo for
right.
the song that we were talking about, Patient, is, where was that?
So the location is actually, so I like doing a lot of my own directing. That's another aspect that I kind of want to go down, is video directing and videography. I just haven't got to that stage yet. So the place is in Sebring, and it's actually a dump that we used to go to when I did landscaping with my stepdad. He has his own landscaping business. So it's actually a greenery dump.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put like construction trash, but it's all greenery.
Okay.
So you would drive down. They had a couple of different paths, and they would unload your truck full of debris, whatever, trees or grass, whatever you had. But it was like a big thing. And when I went, technically, I wasn't supposed to be there. I went on a weekend because I knew they were closed just because I went so often. So I pulled up and I knew that they just have like a little chain link, like just one chain. And that, you know, like they're just on hook and that was it. So we pulled up enough to where we were off the road and we just went under the chain and went down. And it was like it's a huge thing, like not obviously Grand Canyon size, but like a little mini Grand Canyon. And lucky enough, we didn't get in trouble. No one came or nothing happened, but we were there for a couple hours and just walking around different spots. There was a cool little spot where we were walking up to it and like you could go down into what looked like a little like cavern type, like trail thing that like, if you were in the Grand Canyon would be made by like water, you know, but it was wide enough and big enough for me to get in it. So at parts in the video, you see like, there's like walls on the side of me. And like, it's kind of shady and I'm like in like this weird, like little tunnel thing. It was pretty cool. There's a lot of different, this cool landscape scenes. And so going there so often, I'm like, I'm going to use this spot. and it just happened to work for that video pretty well.
Nice. Yeah, those visuals go crazy.
Who shot that?
Tasteful Productions, and they're from Highlands County, Sebring area. Nice. But they're growing pretty much, pretty well. They're expanding out all of Florida. They'll travel now, and they've done all my videos that I've done so far, nice, which dude. I've had three that I've put out.
Nice, man. Shout out Tasteful Productions.
Yeah, they're good.
Shout out you too, man. You're killing
Appreciate
it.
It. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. Is there anything you wanted to touch on? Anything you're dropping soon? For people to keep an eye out for?
For right now, I've dropped Patient. Actually, I dropped it like 2 months ago. I didn't initially do promo just because some things had popped up and I just wasn't focused. But that's why I'm doing a lot of promo right now. But my plan is to start dropping every month or 2 months. That's just a tactic that I've seen that works pretty well for new artists rather than trying to build up and drop an album or, you know, wait in a certain amount of time. But so I probably will drop again, and I would say about a month or so. We'll see. The song that I made this week might be the one. I have a few other songs that are ready to go to drop, but the one I made recently I kind of really like, so sometimes I get excited and just skip some other ones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But my plan is to drop one of these songs in the next month or so for sure. We'll see.
Heck yeah, bro. We'll be looking out for it. Yeah, where can the people find you at?
Yeah, if you want, you can look at this camera if you wanted to look at the people. Oh. But anything you wanted to plug.
The GoPro. Your phone died.
Oh, it died? Oh, shoot. Well, nice. GoPro.
All right. Basically, everywhere is Mac Muse. Instagram, it's Mac Muse. TikTok is Mac Muse. Facebook, Mac Muse. Spotify, Apple, SoundCloud, YouTube. Everything is Mac Muse.
All right, you secured that.
Should be pretty easy. I did a lot of looking for before names before I settled on one. Mac Muse is actually, my name's Cameron, so Cam is nickname obviously everyone would call me, so I just flipped that because when I rap my whole music vibe is kind of like an alter ego to some extent. So nice. Mac is just Cam flipped, and then Muse is Latin for inspiration, so I kind of want to just inspire myself and then with my music inspire other people, so it kind of just worked out. And
that's awesome.
Kind of sounds good together. So
yeah, it's a good name.
It worked. That's what it was supposed to be.
Mac Muse.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, bro. Pleasure having you. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you Absolutely. So much.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, dude. Definitely, thank you. Yeah. I can't wait to see what's in store for you too, especially if you do start performing at open mics and stuff around here, and I start seeing your names on the lineups coming up. That'd be sick.
That's the plan for sure.
And as the people around here get to know you, I'm hyped if I ever saw like Yano featuring Mac Muse or Mac Muse featuring Yano, I'd be like, they did it.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
There's some people I'm talking to right now. Jay Daru is one of them, so we'll see what we got.
He's nice with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know, too, if we can help in any way.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do that already, you guys are. I appreciate you having me.
Heck yeah. And we do little freestyles sometimes, so if you ever did want to come on and spit on a beat, we'd be happy to have you over again.
All right. That sounds good. I could do that. I'll have to set that up.
Heck yeah.
Where can they find us at, dude?
You can find us at City of Palms Podcast, Inc., where you listen to podcasts. Find us on YouTube. Subscribe while you're at it. New episodes every Monday. Yeah. We're everywhere at your ears. Subscribe.
If you don't got time for the full podcast episodes, we get it. We got you on Instagram. We got little, you know, if you just want to scroll through the Instagram, we got little highlights here and there. And if something catches your eye, click the link in our bio and go to the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
We got you covered.
Yep. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. This has been episode 113 with Mac Muse.
Hit him with the outro, Biscuit.